I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, you're very welcome to The Tonight Show. Simon says, I want to be Taoiseach. We speak with Minister Simon Harris as he declares his candidacy to become the next leader of Fine Gael.
I'm here this evening to say, yes, I'm in. I intend to seek the leadership of Fine Gael, and I'm ready to serve should that opportunity be given to me.
Plus, live in studio, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald on why the next Taoiseach should be chosen by the people. And Leo Varadkar attends his final EU summit in Brussels as Taoiseach, but home politics follows him there.
I'm not resigning my seat. I'm looking forward to fulfilling my mandate. I'm looking forward to getting involved in campaigns again in my constituency and locally.
Simon Harris looks set to become Ireland's youngest Taoiseach after he declared his intention to succeed Leo Varadkar as leader of Fine Gael. Since early this morning, a plethora of ministers, TDs, MEPs and senators have pledged their support to the minister for further education. As of yet, he has no challengers. Simon Harris spoke to our political correspondent Gavin Riley tonight at Leinster House. And Gavin started by asking him, was he in the race?
Simon Harris, are you in?
I'm in. First thing I want to do is genuinely pay tribute to my colleague, to my friend, to Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach of our country, the leader of our party. I want to thank him for incredible service, 7 years as leader, service in many ministries, the pride he's brought to us representing us at home and abroad. But I'm here this evening to say, yes, I'm in. I intend to seek the leadership of Fine Gael, and I'm ready to serve should that opportunity be given to me.
We now know there aren't going to be any other candidates, so next Monday you'll become the Fine Gael leader. In 2 weeks' time, you'll become the Taoiseach. How will your leadership be any different to that of Leo Varadkar?
Well, look, I take nothing for granted. There's a process to go through. Nominations are still open, but I am somewhat overwhelmed and extremely grateful to colleagues who have shown their support for me today from all sorts of the ranks right across the party. Senior ministers, ministers of state, TDs, MEPs, senators, councillors, council candidates and grassroots members. It means a lot to me, and I want them to know that I will give this my all. I will work day and night to repay their trust. I think new leadership obviously offers the opportunity for renewal, for new energy, for enthusiasm. I'm very committed to the programme for government that we have agreed, but I'm also really committed to listening. I think we need to start listening more as politicians. I think we need to dial down the toxicity that exists in Irish politics, and I think we need to focus on how we can deliver for the Irish people. In many ways, I'm an accidental politician. I got involved in politics at a young age when I started campaigning for better educational facilities when I have a brother with autism and wanting to make a difference in my community. I know the difference politics can make, and I want to bring that can-do approach, willing to work with anybody and everybody to drive forward this country.
So new energy, does that mean that you think that there's been some energy missing from leadership up to now?
Well, no, I think it's a statement of fact, as the Taoiseach himself would have said yesterday, that after a prolonged period of time in leadership, of course, there can be a time for new energy. 7 years operating at the top of your game, as Leo Varadkar has, is an incredible contribution to my party and to leadership and to our country, and I thank him for that. But this is an opportunity now to renew. It's an opportunity to refocus. It's an opportunity to say, what can we get done for the people in the period of time that is left? And also, I'm very aware of the very significant challenges we face as we enter a number of difficult electoral cycles, and I don't in any way underestimate that.
There hasn't been a national election for 4 years now, but of course there was the referendum 2 weeks ago, and many people would think that's an illustration that maybe the government has, if not lost its way, that it's become detached, that you don't really know what people want anymore.
I think I could understand that criticism if the opposition all opposed the referendum, but of course the referendum was overwhelmingly supported by political parties here behind me in Dáil Éireann, including the main opposition parties as well. I do think there's learnings from the referendum. I'd be happy to reflect on them on another occasion, but one of the learnings, I think, is that we need to get focused really on the delivery for the people. Yes, words in our constitution matter, but what matters more is the lived experience of people in Ireland. I know that. I know it through my familial experience, and I want to bring it to the office of Leader of Fine Gael.
Well, lived experience is something that a lot of people would think the government has been detached from, that the government might be proclaiming that on big picture everything is going very well, you've got more money than you can literally spend, but there are so many people living in emergency accommodation, so many people struggling with the cost of living. They would say that the government has done very little for them up till now, and they'll wonder what you will do any differently.
Well, there are huge challenges that our country faces, but I'm also very proud of the contribution that Fine Gael has played in a number of governments over the last several years. It's a very different Ireland to the Ireland that I first experienced when elected to Dáil Éireann, with 15% unemployment, with people worried about mortgage arrears, home repossessions, significant emigration, the collapse of the construction sector. We now have more than 500 people a week buying their first home. We do see housing supply increasing. But let me be really clear about this. I put myself forward for this, well aware of the scale of challenge that we face in a number of areas, proud of the work that we've done in other areas, and absolutely committing myself to the need to do better, the need to listen, and the need to bring humility to Irish politics.
You mentioned the slew of supporters that you've had declaring for you in the last 9 hours or so. There are some people, even in your own party, who believe that this is the sort of campaign that you've been planning for years behind the scenes, just waiting for the day when Leo Varadkar was gone.
Look, I never hid my ambition. That's true, but as the Taoiseach himself said yesterday, in acknowledging the loyalty of everybody who has served in the parliamentary party with him, I think he even made a quip about falling on his own sword because of the level of loyalty that there was within the party. But I never hid my ambition. I believe when you get involved in public service, you put your hand up, you serve, and you try to make a difference every single day. I think some of the slickness is nearly too kind. In many ways, I and my party found ourselves plunged into this situation yesterday. I certainly, 48 hours ago, sitting at home watching people like you on news programmes, didn't think I'd be talking to you tonight about wanting to be the next leader of Fine Gael. But our party, after the initial shock, decided we needed to respond, we need to respond quickly, we need to restore stability to Irish politics and certainty, I think, in the terms of how we intend to move forward.
There'll be a lot of people who think it's somewhat ironic that the last Dáil ended, in part because there was a motion of no confidence being tabled against yourself and the government was likely to lose it, an election was called. The next time there's an election, it will be you that's actually calling the date, as Taoiseach.
Well, look, I think the reality of the last Dáil is that was the outworkings of a minority government. We were in a minority government. A minority government was always going to come to an end, and the government, obviously, by virtue of being a minority government, didn't have a majority in the Oireachtas. That government ran an awful lot longer than many, many, many pundits predicted, and indeed confidence is
but there have been some people today, a lot of Sinn Féin TDs, pointing out some of the criticisms that your prospective government partners, Fianna Fáil, were making specifically of you, of your performance in cabinet 5 years ago. Do you think it's possible to sit alongside cabinet, to lead a government that has six Fianna Fáil ministers at the same cabinet table and not have them wondering if you're up to the job?
Yeah, because we've been united on a policy programme for the last 4 years. Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Green Party agreed a programme for government, because politics in Ireland has become too personal. It's become in many ways too presidential. We need to tone it down here. This is about getting stuff done. We have a programme for government. We need to implement the programme for government. We need to work together. We need to dial it down, all of us, when it comes to rhetoric and toxicity in Irish politics. I think it's really off-putting for the public, quite frankly. I want to get things done. I've shown an ability to work with people of all political persuasions in terms of trying to get things done in Dáil Éireann. And if given the opportunity to serve as leader of Fine Gael, I will proudly represent my party. I will look to get our party back to our core principles, things that matter to Fine Gael voters, things that we committed to Fine Gael voters in the election, things that are in the programme for government. But I'll also be willing to work with everybody and anybody who has a good idea to try and make progress on the key issues we face.
As the Taoiseach, the timing of that next election will be in your gift. There was a widespread expectation that the election might have been just after the budget, perhaps. As a prospective Taoiseach, will you have timing in mind for when you'd like that election to be, or are you committing to running for the full 12 months that you've got?
So you're understandably getting ahead of yourself. I'm here tonight to say that I wish to be the next leader of Fine Gael, very respectful of the ongoing process, and let's see where that brings us. My own view is we have a programme for government. We have a government working well. Governments have changed many times, as have leaders changed many times during the lifetime of a Dáil. I see no reason for that to be any different in this regard. There's a lot of work to be done. I want to get on with the people's work.
It sounds like you want to go the whole term.
I'm committed to implementing the programme for government should I be given an opportunity to have a say in it.
One of the big acid tests of your leadership of Fine Gael and as Taoiseach will be your performance in the next general election. Fine Gael have had a difficult few elections now in a row. After the next election, if you're in a position to form a government alongside Sinn Féin, would you consider working alongside them?
No, my party's position in relation to working with Sinn Féin in government is categoric, is clear, and I don't think whatever Fine Gael decided to put their name forward for leadership today, that position would change it. Absolutely. Unites us. And you know what? It's an okay thing. It's okay to have different ideas, it's okay to have different policies, and it's okay to say there'll be a real choice on offer to the Irish people in the next election. I think that's something people of all different political persuasions can relate to. There will be choice in the next election. I'll be putting forward, should I be given an opportunity to serve, and in whatever role I serve, I'll be putting forward the values and visions of Fine Gael. I'm sure others will put forward their views.
There are some who will think that it might be a little foolhardy to be going into an election possibly within 12 months, and if that is your only prospect of staying in power, to be ruling them out before you've even seen their programme or their manifesto.
No, look, I think it's actually healthy in a democracy to have a government and to have an opposition, to have political parties in the government and to have political parties which to replace the government. And that's the approach we intend to take.
There are some who think, although you will prospectively get to be Taoiseach in a little over 2 weeks' time, that is something of a poison chalice, that there are very few people who expect that Fine Gael can win the next election, and they think that the party is destined for opposition within the next 12 months. What can you say to prove them wrong?
I don't understand the logic of anybody who thinks public service is a poison chalice. I certainly didn't get involved in politics for a quiet life. I've never been known to be one to shirk a challenge. And if given the opportunity to serve in any role, including as leader of Fine Gael, it's something I would absolutely relish. We get involved to make a difference, and that's what I want to do.
And finally, what is your message to members of the public who have seen you being involved in cabinet for the last 8 years, who've seen you in Dáil Éireann for the last 14 years, who've become very familiar with you and your performance in public office, but might remember some of the pledges you made on the likes of scoliosis, for example, that you haven't been able to meet, and they will think that Simon Harris is someone with a track record of not always being able to deliver what he promises?
Look, I think any fair evaluation of my record or any politician's records will show areas of success and areas where we needed to do better. I'm absolutely clear in relation to that. I hope any fair evaluation of my record would look at the leadership we provided at the start of the COVID pandemic, would look at the success we had in terms of repeal of the 8th, would look at how I managed as a minority government health minister to work with the opposition to agree a cross-party, all-party approach to health for the first time in the history of the state. I hope my time in the Department of Justice would show how seriously I take law and order, safer streets, supporting the Gardaí, and I hope my time in the Department of Further and Higher Education would show how I wanted to move beyond the obsession with the points race and look at different and multiple pathways and access to education for everyone. There's no messiah in Irish politics. Nobody is perfect. Nobody gets everything right. I certainly don't. But what I will bring to this role, should I be given the opportunity, is energy, enthusiasm, honesty and vigour every single day I have the opportunity to serve.
Simon Harris speaking to Gavin Reilly a little earlier this evening. Well, I'm joined now in studio by the Leader of the Opposition, Sinn Féin President Mary Lou McDonald. Mary Lou, you're very welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So it looks like that's our Taoiseach in waiting there. You are a potential Taoiseach in waiting, but you'll have to go through a general election if you want to realise that dream. Is that difficult to swallow?
Well, look, can I say that Simon Harris is obviously relishing the prospect of becoming leader of his party, and in that regard, can I wish him well? However, I think the notion that 4 years on, three Taoiseach later, and three governments on, the idea that the role of Taoiseach is decided amongst a coterie of Fine Gaelers really lacks any credibility. I think it flies in the face of the fact that we need energetic, purposeful government. I mean, the outgoing Taoiseach Leo Varadkar put it best himself, I think, when he said that he is out of energy, out of ideas, and accepted that his time was up.
He felt that personally.
Yes,
he didn't say Fine Gael was, and Micheál Martin certainly Eamon Ryan didn't say it.
And let me make the point, his expression of his personal position carries through to the rest of the government. And really, all things being equal and fair, what we need now is a general election. And I don't mean an election just for the sake of it. I mean, we need a general election now because we do not need a government that now limps across the line at a time when so many substantial challenges face our people.
Okay,
we need energy, purpose. And, you know,
is he not bringing, listening to Simon Harris there, he's going to bring great energy and purpose.
Well,
back
Simon
into the office.
Simon was the reason the previous government, the last Dáil, fell. It was actually a confidence or a no confidence motion in him that really tilted the balance and the whole thing came down. And I'm very amazed to hear people who 4 years ago could not vote confidence, in fairness, in a health minister that had a litany of disaster and failure on his record sheet, from the Children's Hospital to the cervical check scandal to the scoliosis scandal, which is ongoing. Those same people now, it seems, propose to come in on the 9th of April and vote confidence in the same person who will be the leader of Fine Gael, albeit nominated by that party, and in the absence of any democratic open process for the people who, in the end, you know, are all of our bosses, employ all of us, in the absence of them having any say.
But you know, Mary Lou McDonald, that it's the constitution that makes it clear that the office of Taoiseach is elected by Dáil Éireann, not by the people. And actually, not only does the law say that, but precedent over generations has shown that.
I'm as well aware of the constitutional arrangements as anyone, but I would always say to you, never before in the history of the state have we had three Taoiseach in the course of 4 years, three changes of government.
We've had two.
And no democratic input from the people at a time where it is clear, and let me agree with Simon Harris on this point, we certainly need a huge reset. We need big energy, big ambition. We need a new government. We don't need another Fine Gael Taoiseach.
OK, but is it the difficulty with the third Taoiseach? Because you could find yourself in a position where you might have to have a rotating Taoiseach.
Look, I am saying very clearly that at this point, change is anticipated and change is needed.
But what you seem to be, but you've been saying that, in fairness, Mary Lou McDonald, for some time. That's
yes.
What Sinn Féin has been saying. Your issue now is the idea that there is a new Taoiseach and that it is in some way undemocratic, that Fine Gael, a small cohort of Fine Gael, get to choose that person. You could find yourself in a position where there has to be two Taoiseach if you were to get into government.
Well, look, I'm not speculating for it. We're dealing with this situation, not of what might happen. We're dealing with this situation that's unfolding before our eyes. Just remember, before Fine Gael came to office, Ireland had amongst the highest home ownership in the European Union. We're now way down at the bottom of that league.
I get all of that, but I want to go back to, I suppose, what the real issue has been for the last 24 hours for the opposition parties led by yourselves. And it's the idea that we're having to rotate this Taoiseach. We have a third Taoiseach now in 4 years.
Do you not find that problematic? In 4 years, three Taoiseach. Does that not have a real bang of Boris Johnson and the Tories in disarray? I think that's deeply unstable and I think it's wholly unsatisfactory. And you go into an election, you put forward your platform, you put forward your candidates, you make your case to the people. The people ultimately make their decision. Their decision is sacrosanct. And then you follow that democratic instruction.
OK, so just to be clear, if Sinn Féin were in government, would you rule out the idea of a rotating Taoiseach?
I don't like the idea of a rotating Taoiseach. I never did. I think a government is formed, a Taoiseach is elected, the Taoiseach is the head of government, the buck stops with him or her. They have to be in a steady, solid, purposeful way with the energy and the clarity and the stability to actually deliver for people. And I have to say, Gina, I'll bring you back to the issues that I was raising with you, because for most people, you see, the ins and outs and the technicalities of political life aren't hugely interesting. What, in my experience, what people are interested in is whether or not a particular government understands what's happening on the ground, is delivering in meaningful ways and making a positive impact on people's lives. And my observation over the past 4 years is that that has not been the case. I heard the commitments from Simon Harris and his colleagues 4 years ago that they had heard the electorate, that housing was the number one issue, that they were going to get it solved, that they were going to sort it out. We are 4 years on. It is not sorted out. And on Simon Harris's direct watch in the area of health, disgracefully, there are still children and young people bent into S-hooks, living in agony and not getting the surgical interventions that they need.
Is that a scenario
that engenders confidence in a government? Absolutely not. Should the same government have the prerogative to swap the role of Taoiseach between each other? Absolutely okay, not. In my view, I think that's wrong.
You say this is a government that's out of touch and that this is a government that politicians must understand its people.
Yes.
Look to the referendum 2 weeks ago, to that overwhelming rejection of those two amendments to our constitution. Sinn Féin supported the government. Are you not equally out of touch with the people?
No, but let me say, first off, the people were absolutely emphatic in their response, and that's the end of the matter. Message received and understood. And what I take as the leader of Sinn Féin is a very clear message from people that where there is any level of ambiguity or where there is a situation where you're simply inching forward in areas of great importance and not making the great leap forward, that's no longer enough for the Irish electorate.
But I suppose
I hear that loud and clear.
It's about being in touch with people. That's the point I'm making.
No, but
let me also make
this point. And I said this from the get-go of these referendum campaigns. The government ran ahead of itself, ran ahead of everybody's stakeholders.
You supported
them, Mary Lou. Hold on.
You supported them.
Stakeholders, people who had a real interest in these referendums, they didn't consult, they didn't collaborate, and then they failed to convince.
Okay, the opposition didn't provide opposition.
You didn't foresee
the outcome. You didn't read the people.
Kira, on balance, we made a recommendation to the people. The people took a different view. The people are right. The people are always right. I'm not disputing that for a second. But I would make the point that the government made a complete hames of that campaign from start to finish.
Did Sinn Féin get it wrong too, though?
Well, obviously we did. I mean, the people gave their answer and they said, and here's the learning, don't come with any level of ambiguity. And where there is big change needed, don't offer minimal partial responses. And I think people with disabilities, the disabled community came out loud and clear and powerfully, and carers. And as politics now has to hear that and respond to that in kind and be as resolute as those campaigners were.
You're calling for this general election, yes. But in the polls, support for Sinn Féin has been sliding. You say that there's this big appetite for change. And if you look, though, at that last Ireland Thinks poll, it suggested that there wasn't this huge appetite for sea change, that if there was a forced choice, that 43% of people would choose to re-elect the current coalition as opposed to a Sinn Féin-led coalition.
Well, let's go to the people and test that. Let's go and ask people. I've no problem with that. I feel very, very confident of the potential and the opportunities that we have in this great country.
But can you explain the slide?
I can tell you that we remain the lead party in the polling. And I can tell you that when the election comes, and it needs to come sooner rather than later, we'll present our programme, I will present our team, and I will ask the Irish people, in all humility, to give us the chance to be in government and to lead government and to have a government for the first time in more than 100 years without Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. Ideally, that would be, in my mind, the best outcome, a government for change. And I am more than happy to test those propositions, to put those questions to the people, conduct the campaign,
Mary,
and to allow the people actually make their choice.
You must have done some soul searching, though, as the leader of Sinn Féin. Why are we sliding? What's gone wrong? I mean, you would be remiss in your duties if you haven't.
Kira, in 2020, we had a record-breaking result for Sinn Féin at the time. It was a stunning result for us. We have, in that time, not alone consolidated that support, but we have built on it. And of course, I want to build more. And of course, I want us to maximise our mandate. Why? Because it gives the greatest potential to sort housing, to sort out the issues in healthcare, to sort out a situation where still to this day, we're losing some of our best and brightest who go away, which is fine, to travel, which is great, but who in so many instances tell me they want to come home, but don't see any pathway back. That's why I want us to be strong. That's why I want.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Just to have an election. That's why I want us to have a new government with energy and with purpose.
Okay, it doesn't
and
appear.
And the people will make those choices. I'm very comfortable with that. I'm satisfied that we will put forward a strong plan, a strong team and a real potential for change and energy.
But we're not at that point yet. But when we get to that point, Simon Harris has just said, it appears he'll be Taoiseach, he'll certainly be the leader, I'd say, of Fine Gael. He won't do business with Sinn Féin. Is that insulting?
Well, look, that's a matter for himself. There's nothing hugely new in that. And let me repeat, what we need is change. It's very clear that Fine Gael are hanging on to the reins of power, hanging on desperately.
Are you open to persuading him otherwise?
It seems that they're being assisted in their efforts by others. That's not going to last forever. We're three Taoiseachs in. We're three governments in the course of one Dáil. This is unprecedented. And I think it's a bad look. I think it lacks any credibility. And it's not my business or my concern to, frankly, persuade Simon Harris of anything. My concern is the Irish people. My concern is the electorate having their chance to take their decisions.
You are open to doing business with them.
I am clear, and let me repeat, the best outcome for the next election is a government for the first time without Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. For me, that would be the best outcome. The people will have their say. And after the election, I'm going to talk to everyone because I'm a grown-up and I'm a Democrat. And I think that's what you do. Do we have much in common with Fine Gael? The answer to that is clearly no. I don't think you have to be a political scientist to figure that one out, Ciara.
If you're a grown-up, then is he immature?
I didn't say that. I am simply describing myself.
You didn't have a great working relationship, to be fair, with Leo Varadkar. There never seemed to be a huge amount of love lost between you. Do you think you can form a better working relationship with Simon Harris?
Well, look, at the end of the day, the relationship that you have is defined by the role that's entrusted to you by the public. And I mean, I'm the leader of the opposition. My first role is to hold the government to account. That's my first job. And of course, to offer progressive, helpful alternatives and to give people confidence that actually there are checks and balances. It's not a question of liking or dislike. There are very few people in life care that I actively dislike in politics or anywhere else. That's not my style. I think that's bad karma. I don't go about my life in that way. But I am very serious about doing my job and leading my team to the very best of my ability. And at times, of course, that means holding a government that is patently failing, holding them to account.
Final question. You stood opposite Leo Varadkar for 6 years. Is there anything you'll miss about him?
Well, it's always a change in tempo when somebody new comes and stands in front of you. So there's a bit of an adjustment period there. So if it's a case that Simon Harris comes in and becomes yet another Fine Gael Taoiseach, we'll just have to readjust to that.
So you won't miss him?
Well, look, I'm sure he won't particularly miss me in a political sense. On a personal level, he's leaving politics. I wish him and his family, of course, on that personal level, nothing but the best. But politically speaking, the last thing this country needs is yet another Fine Gael Taoiseach.
All right. My thanks to you, Mary Lou McDonald, for coming in to us this evening. After the break, our panel delves into Simon Harris's career so far, and we ask what kind of Taoiseach could he possibly be. So do stay with us. You're very welcome back. Well, elected to Dáil Éireann in 2011, Simon Harris was the youngest TD in Leinster House. The Wicklow TD went on to serve as Minister for Health, Minister for Further and Higher Education and Acting Justice Minister. Now that he seems all but certain to become the next leader of Fine Gael, we ask what type of Taoiseach Simon Harris will be. Well, joining me to discuss this further is Fine Gael Senator Mary Siri Kearney, Fianna Fáil TD Willie O'Dea, Special Correspondent with the Irish Examiner, Mick Clifford, and joining me down the line is Health Editor of the Irish Times, Paul Cullen. You're all very welcome to the programme. Mick Clifford, I kept thinking of that phrase in football today. It looks like it over it is now. Something along those lines. Yeah. It is all over, isn't it?
I think it's all over it is now, yeah. It is, yeah, there's no question. I mean, it looked like that from...
Early doors,
you know. And the only issue for the first few hours is whether or not Pascal Donoghue would decide to stand, and he obviously didn't.
Why no competition? That has to be the big question now for this role.
Yeah, it does. And it's a small bit worrying just in overall, in terms of a democracy. Fine Gael, one of the biggest parties. Last time around, at least, they had hustings. They had two people going for it. But no competition doesn't look good. And, you know, you'd have to ask yourself, why did nobody else want the job at all? And a third of their parliamentary party are not standing next time round. There are big questions as to what exactly Fine Gael is, what it represents anymore. And on top of that, not to see any competition. I don't think it's a healthy thing. And Simon Harris...
Does it speak to an apathy, do you think? Is that what you're saying within the
party? I don't know, is it apathy? That's an awful phrase, poison chalice. I don't know whether that's it either. I mean, whoever won this... contest to be, well, what we thought would be a contest to be Fine Gael leader, will be leading them in to the prospect, the hopeful prospect from their point of view, of a fourth term in government. Now, that is a huge ask one way or the other. The other thing that strikes me about it is Simon Harris, I'm not too sure what exactly he stands for. And the only other thing that strikes me is he's been a TD since he was 24. It's a bit similar. The only person I can think in a similar vein is David Cameron in the UK. And there's no life experience outside the National Parliament there. And I just wonder whether that's necessarily a positive thing for somebody who's going to be leader of the country.
Willie O'Dea, you're a seasoned politician at this point. Are you satisfied with this process?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously it's not 100% satisfactory, but I mean, it does arise from a specific situation, namely the three parties who formed the government jointly signed a pact that, you know, for so many years, Micheál was going to be Taoiseach, then Leo was going to be Taoiseach, and if anything happened to either of them in between, that party had to select the person to replace them, and we would support that person in the Dáil to become Taoiseach. And, you know, I mean...
How do you mean it's unsatisfactory?
Well, obviously, you know, it attracts the sort of criticism you heard in the earlier part of the programme, which I don't give much credence to, but others might. But the fact is, look, there's a deal there, there's a pact. I mean, if the roles were reversed, we'd expect Fine Gael to support our nominee. So now why wouldn't we support their nominee? And there's also a wider factor in this. Politics in this country is becoming increasingly fragmented, as you know. Mm-hmm. Future governments are going to be, there'll be no single party governments anymore, not in my lifetime anyway. Future governments will consist of two, three, four, maybe five parties. And they will sit down in the same way. They will sign a pact. And, you know, if there's a precedent set that one of the parties walks away from that pact when it suits themselves because they think it's to their electoral advantage, that will give rise to ongoing instability.
OK, but what about then Simon Harris as a Taoiseach? Do you like him?
Personally, yeah. I don't know him terribly well, but I've had a number of dealings with him. And I have to say, in fairness to him, you know, any dealings I've had with him, he's been extremely helpful. He's gone out of his way to be helpful. And... He's obviously a person of high intellect. I mean, nobody can dispute that. But he is personable, he is energetic, and in my dealings with him anyway, he's proved to be very helpful.
But there is sort of an irony here, isn't there, that what brought down the last government was the fact that your party were going to table a motion of no confidence in him as Minister for Health.
I'm sorry,
that's why we ended up having the general election. Now you're saying, actually, no, he's a personable, good guy, great to deal with, full of energy.
Look, I'm not saying that Simon Harris's term in health was an unqualified success, but your information is incorrect, unfortunately, and I think you were taking your lead there from your previous guest. What happened here was that the government parties, including Fianna Fáil, were prepared to support Simon Harris in that motion of confidence. The numbers were very tight. One of our backbenchers said that he wouldn't support the motion. And at that point, the government decided to dissolve itself and seek re-election. But there was no question that but everybody bar one in the Fianna Fáil Parliamentary Party were prepared to oppose that motion. Far from putting it down, somebody else put it down, we were prepared to oppose it.
Fair enough. Mary Sue Kearney, to the point that Mick Clifford made, is it not a little worrying within Fine Gael? Because we were told repeatedly that there's a huge amount of talent right across the party, lots of very, very capable people, experienced people at Cabinet, and yet none of them want to become the leader of the party except Simon Harris?
Well, I suppose we should maybe qualify it by the fact that the nomination of the potential remains open until 1 o'clock on Monday.
Highly unlikely.
However, it is highly unlikely. I absolutely agree with that. There is a wealth of talent. I think we were spoiled for choice. But I have to look back to the time when Simon Harris was in the Department of Justice and he covered, he both ran his own department and covered Minister McEntee's maternity leave. And in that, I believe that was almost the interview for future leader, because there is no doubt he showed an immense commitment, huge enthusiasm, great passion, great energy for doing both jobs, which he did exceptionally well. And while he was quite happy, I suppose, to hand over the mantle back to Minister McEntee when she returned, but at the same time, during that time, he accomplished a huge amount in both departments at the same time.
But back
so
to
we
the point.
Saw a man who could do an awful lot.
But there's also a huge amount of depth in somebody, let's say, like Pascal Donoghue.
No doubt.
Or there's somebody like Heather Humphreys was spoken about as being particularly popular in the party and goes back to the rural Fine Gael roots. They don't even want to contest it. Why?
I think that they believe in Simon Harris. I think that they support him, see that energy, see that commitment. There's no doubt there's a passion about him that is compelling. He's very personable, very supportive. You saw in interviews this evening, he was passionate about the councillors, and our focus does need to be on the councillors and our MEPs and our candidates for that, because the local elections are just around the corner. I would rather we had had a contest, because what would happen would be the next 2 weeks, a lot of media focus would be on Fine Gael. We'd get to talk about our policies, our passions, our principles and everything, and our values. We would have got an awful lot of exposure in that. However, not having a contest puts us in a position where we can focus back on the local elections, consolidate, you know, the support for the fact of we have some first-time candidates coming out.
But
I have my own home constituency in Paddy Dingle in Ian.
You could have nominated another candidate if you wanted that contest, couldn't you?
Well, as a senator, we don't really. It was very clear in the papers that came out last night that you must be a member of the Dáil. Some of them had to approach us and see where they were at. You know, there are very fine candidates. Did I expect others? I suppose there are exceptional people both at Cabinet and Ministers of State, as well as not in those positions in the party. However, they chose not to put their hat in the ring.
OK, let's go to Paul Cullen, because his most, I think, significant brief was the Minister for Health brief that he held for a full 4 years. Mary Lou McDonald here saying, look, it was a failure, and perhaps people would expect her to say that. But she spoke about the overruns, I suppose, at the Children's Hospital, the scandal around cervical check and the ongoing crisis with those scoliosis patients awaiting surgery. Would you say that's a fair assessment? Was it a fail, Paul Cullen?
Yeah, I look back to what I wrote in 2020 and I described his performance as checkered. That might be an achievement in itself, because health is a vast brief. It was a big cabinet job. It didn't get its nickname Angola for nothing. It was christened that by Brian Cowan for its propensity to deliver unexpected nasty surprises to the minister, landmines, and cervical check was the big one. He scored some wins, I suppose, notably the introduction of abortion. He lived through those crises. Remember, Serge Wilczek nearly brought down the government, not just him as a minister. He steadied the ship there, despite disagreeing with his own officials on key decisions in that. He brought energy, he brought propensity for hard work and a sense of what kind of issues appeal to the public. I think fundamentally, though, he didn't change the realities of the health system, the problems that were there. In spite of extra money, there was an extra $4 billion thrown in the first few years while he was into health, while in that Fine Gael government. But the waiting list got longer. An extra 27,000 people on the inpatient waiting list in his first year, and they continued to get longer. And then at the end, of course, COVID happened, and just like everybody else in the political class, he was discombobulated, and effectively the running was taken over during that caretaker government by the officials, notably Tony Houlihan as chief medical officer. So to have survived health is an achievement. But although Sláintecare had its birth during his period in health, it's only more recently that extra money is being used to employ extra staff and perhaps to finally make a change about the access problems in the health sector.
Okay, isn't one of the real difficulties here, we've heard he's had a checkered, perhaps a checkered result when it came to the Minister for Health, perhaps more successes with other ministries, is that we're not really going to get the opportunity, are we, to test Simon Harris or to see as a public what his vision is for Fine Gael, because we don't have this contest?
Yeah, exactly. We don't have the contest. I heard Jennifer Carol McNeill this morning saying that she'd been speaking to him, I think, this morning, and he discussed his vision. Well, I'd love to know what his vision is and how it differs from, for example, whatever Leo Varadkar's vision was.
Because is there a difference between them? Because I have to say, the one thing I picked up on all the Fine Gael commentators today, they all spoke about great communicator, great at delivering a complicated message and a simple sound bite that can relate to people, great energy, but I didn't hear an awful lot about substance and policies.
The buzzword that I've heard, Kieran, that seems to be the defining factor for Mr. Harris at the moment is energy. That's what people are saying. Quite obviously, Leo Varadkar, by his own admission yesterday, suggested, you know, he didn't have the energy for anymore. That's what people are using in relation to Simon Harris. Now, energy is great and you need energy for that job, but whether that's a sufficient attribute to be going into the job of Taoiseach. The other thing is, what exactly, in terms of vision, and I think this applies to Fine Gael more than any other party, what exactly do they stand for anymore? Like, there has been talk that they should move back to being the centre-right, the traditional values, all that sort of thing, that there is a constituency there. There's nothing in Simon Harris's background that suggests he has any inclination that way or in any principles in that respect.
What can you achieve in 12 months in politics, Willie? Let's say he gets 12 months and he mightn't.
Well, obviously, there's a couple of things on the agenda at the moment. For example, the very important pieces of legislation. And they have
stuff
to,
that he could put his own
managed.
Stamp on. Will he get that opportunity?
Well, I suppose it'll probably come around the time of the budget. Although, you know, we're sharing power with Fine Gael, obviously. But, I mean, it is difficult for me to see, you know, how he differs philosophically from Leo. I mean, they're both good communicators. Leo did have energy. His energy subsided somewhat in recent times. Simon definitely brought a great injection of energy to the Department of Justice when he moved in there. And but as regards his philosophy, I'm not absolutely clear on how that differs from Leo's.
Yeah. Are you clear?
I can help on that.
Mary,
I can
very
help
briefly.
On that. Absolutely. One of the many conversations that I've had with him, including today, was about inclusion, and he very much stands for inclusion, looking at disabilities, looking at the potential there. And I suppose he brings his own life experience into that and that of his family, and his brother being an exceptional advocate when it comes to inclusion, ability, changing how we perceive the abilities and also making sure that we have a universal design. We're coming out of referendums. Okay. We're actually family care and carers. There is huge substance in the Department of Further and Higher Education. He has demonstrated that. And anything that we brought to him, including expanding the number of services for and the number of places for training for occupational therapists, etc., he has delivered on all of that. And so I would think that will be one of that focus of every person counts, compassion, and leading in dealing with business, dealing with everything else as well.
OK, look, unfortunately, I have to leave it there. But my thanks to my guests. After the break, we ask if Leo Varadkar, who is currently in Brussels, is job hunting there. Welcome back. Well, Leo Varadkar has swapped the succession talk in Dáil Éireann for a summit in Brussels as he made what is likely to be his last trip to a European Council meeting as Taoiseach. Well, I'm joined from Brussels by Euro News Europe correspondent Seana Murray for the very latest on this. It is likely to be his last. And he was in quite a reflective mood there today, wasn't he, Seana?
Yeah, that's right. I think it was the first time the press got to speak to him about his decision. He said he thought about it in December, New Year, made the full decision at the weekend, decided to make this resignation known. Then this week, he said it wasn't for any particular reason, but that his partner Matt would be delighted because this was not, life was never for him. He just essentially didn't feel that he had the energy or the drive or the vision to continue, and he wanted to do it before the Ardèche to allow for a new leader to then bring in a new vision and then move forward to the next election in June.
How is he viewed among his peers in the European Council?
Well, you know, Brexit dominated the EU for so long, and Ireland and Leo Varadkar and then Micheál Martin were very much central to that, central to explaining to all 26 member states why they had to stand by Ireland in the face of the UK constantly engaging in sort of a belligerent confrontational acts regarding the Good Friday Agreement, the border on the island of Ireland, where those member states would have wanted to just do a trade deal with the UK, but instead backed Ireland. And that was, I suppose, a leadership role for the Taoiseach and for the Irish government. Ireland's also been quite constructive on most issues in relation to Ukraine, although much quieter on Ukraine because we're not in NATO and we don't have a defence industry. But overall, he would have been seen as a very constructive person, and particularly over the last few months on Gaza, alongside Pedro Sanchez, the Maltese government, and the Belgians, Alexander De Croo, on ensuring that there would be calls for a humanitarian ceasefire. So he has made a sort of a prominent role for himself there as well.
I don't know if you saw him handing out CVs or anything today, but is there any job going there that he could potentially be in the running for?
No, it doesn't come up because even though there's EU elections in June, the candidates for the role of Commission President and Council are already out. Leo Varadkar is in the European People's Party, and the candidate for Commission President is Ursula von der Leyen, who's running again. So that would be the only role that would be open to him. And as we know, that's not sort of, that's not going to happen. So it's not a time for him to be handing out CVs. And incidentally, he's one of three EU leaders leaving the stage today. So I think there's real acknowledgement here that the cut and thrust of politics is that leaders leave the stage, even though he has been well acknowledged tonight. You know, that's just the nature of politics. And on the table was much more serious, grave issues, Ukraine, Gaza and so on.
OK, and very briefly, we only have 30 seconds. There was a bit of a breakthrough today, wasn't there, this call from the EU Council for finally a humanitarian pause in Gaza?
Yes, and that was after 6 months of negotiations of many member states, in particular Austria, the Czech Republic, Hungary, saying that they would never call for a humanitarian ceasefire because Israel has the right to defend itself. But there was an acknowledgement about the catastrophe, the famine, the brutality of what's happening in Gaza, and the EU's call for Israel not to open up a ground offensive in Rafah, and also called on settlers to stop occupying the West Bank. But at the same time, obviously, reiterating condemnation of Hamas's terrorist attack. But it was something of a breakthrough. Now, whether Israel will listen, that's another thing.
All right. Seana Murray, thank you for bringing us that update. That's it from us here on The Tonight Show. Good night to you all. Thank you for watching. Thanks to my guests. Take care.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.